May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the Gospel of John, in sort of our slowly walking through the Gospel, just discovering the love of Christ, every now and then we may backtrack. It depends on just what the Lord's speaking to me. And so because what I'm doing, when we're doing this, I'm just asking the Lord in my daily devotional life to, Lord, just speak to me about your love and reveal the reality of your love for me in this gospel. And so when I thought about this scripture, we've referenced it before, but it was just something I saw that really blessed me. And so I wanted to backtrack and talk about this little story. Because if you read Luke chapter 4, it would appear as if that was when Jesus called Peter. But it wasn't. It was, I think, the last step in Peter finally abandoning everything and following Jesus. When that's the story in Luke chapter 5, is when Peter and the other professional fishermen were out fishing and they couldn't catch any fish. And had been fishing all night long. And then Jesus tells them, he says, cast the net on the right side. And they said to him, because he was not a fisherman. Jesus was the son of a carpenter, so I would assume that he did that. And so they basically were, I think, being sarcastic, trying to be kind, because they had already acknowledged him as Savior, as the Messiah. But they were like going, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. This is what we do for a living. But we'll do what you say because you said to do it. And then they cast the net, and there's this whole fish. There's so much fish, the net's about to break. And Peter falls down in the boat, face down before the Lord, and said, depart from me, O Lord, for you're a sinful man. Matter of fact, let me read a little bit of that before we come back to that place. And John, again, this is Luke. I think I marked it, actually. Yeah, they said, Lord, we've caught nothing, but at your bidding, in light of the fact that you've asked us, we will let down the nets. And so the catch, and when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, repeatedly saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now, in the John passage that Bracken read, that we're backtracking to, remember when Jesus was declared to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world by his cousin, John the Baptist? And the second day that he did that in a row, two of the disciples, of John's disciples, decided to leave him, John the Baptist's disciples, and follow Jesus. And one of them was Andrew. We assume the other one was John the Apostle. And they go and they spend the evening with Jesus and that must have been an amazing time. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother. First thing he does is go and find his brother, who was Peter. And he found his own brother, Simon. Now again, he referred to as Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John, but you shall be called Cephas, which translated means Peter. So I don't think he was called Peter yet until this moment. And the word Peter means rock. Not necessarily big rock, but rock. One of the things that we said about, I believe, what Jesus was doing, the love of God expressed through Christ, is I believe that spiritually Peter probably desired to be that. But I think he knew that, he knew something about himself that he had not been that. You with me? But Jesus was saying to him, he says, and he looked at Peter, and he was decreeing over Peter, saying to Peter what Jesus believed about Peter. Jesus is the truth about you. And when I say what he believed about Peter, what he believed about Peter that was going to be true in light of the fact that at Pentecost, Jesus was actually going to be living inside of him, who Peter was going to be. But the story in Luke chapter 5, When Peter falls down, he says, now Simon Peter, so this is after that experience. He's still fishing for a living. He's acknowledged Christ as the Messiah. He's become a follower, but he's still fishing for a living. And when he saw this miracle, then he had already witnessed a miracle in the wedding in Canaan, because that was 2 days after he started following Jesus. But I guess the fisherman was impressed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Went to turn water into wine, that's amazing. But this is a fisherman. And he's impressed, and he says to Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Again, he says it over and over again, oh Lord. For amazement had seized him, and all of his companions, actually, because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, they were in the fishing business with him. And Jesus said to Simon, they're all amazed, the three are amazed. But Jesus says to Simon, who had said, depart from me, do not fear. From now on, you shall be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. It was at that point they decided they can't be a part-time follower. They left everything. But I've just always been interested in the fact that Peter's life is that when Peter's like yelling, or not yelling, but saying again and again, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And yet when Jesus spoke to him, he said, don't be afraid. What was Peter afraid? He was afraid he was going to blow it. He wanted to be a rock. He may not even voice those things in his own, but Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus knew that Peter was not very happy with Peter. Because Peter feared, none of the other disciples said that, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. In other words, go ahead and depart from me, because I'm not somebody I'm sure you can count on. Now, I have to remember, Peter was a fisherman, and fishermen aren't honest anyway. And then he was a professional fisherman, and so they're worse than not honest. Their lifestyles were pretty rough. But Jesus looks at him when he first met him, the first time Jesus met him, he said, your name has been Simon, but I see you as a rock. And then Jesus has this experience with Peter, and Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fisher of men. You're going to be who you've always longed to be, but could never be apart from me. That's what I see. So, in Matthew chapter 16, a little part, and we're not going to be here forever. This is Matthew 16. Another little piece of the story of Peter. Verse 13, and when Jesus came from the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, repeatedly saying, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah and one of the prophets. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Now, Peter's going to make this amazing confession, and often I'll hear a teacher teach that, like, Peter's the one who got it. Well, don't you remember that his brother went and got him and told him this is the Messiah? And the next day, Jesus found Philip, who followed him as Messiah, and Philip told Nathanael he was Messiah. So Peter wasn't the first person to get it. He wasn't the only one who got it. But this is an encounter with Peter and Jesus. He said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, again, I love that. The Lord adds that Simon, not just Simon, but Peter, the rock, says to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, a rock. And upon this Petra, boulder, or foundational rock, like big boulder, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you have loosed on earth will have been already loosed in heaven. Then he turned to the disciples, that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, the disciples. Who do you say that I am? Peter speaks up. You're the Christ. He's not the only one who believed it, but he spoke up. Jesus said, Simon Barjona, no man's revealed that to you. Heaven has revealed that to you. And you are Peter, a rock. And upon you, this massive boulder, I'm going to build my church. And I'm going to give you, not just to him, but he's talking to Peter. This was true about everybody. It's true about me and you. But he wanted Peter to hear this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he turned to the disciples and spoke to them. And Peter's like, that's so awesome. In verse 21, and from that time, Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid it, Lord. This should never happen to you. And he turned to Peter and said, the rock, he said. He turned to the rock and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block for me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. And then Jesus says to the disciples, anyone wishes to follow me has to deny himself. So here's what I want you to see. We know what happens later. Jesus, he cuts a guy's ear off. Jesus puts the ear back on. We know that after that, that not only does Peter, who's become the leader of the group, not only is he deny Christ, but he denies him three times publicly, cursing while he did it. Now, Peter had been telling Jesus in front of the other disciples because Peter's trying to be the rock. And he says to them, look, Lord, all these guys may abandon you, but me, never. Nope. I'll go to jail. I'll even die. I'm not like one of these. I'm the rock. And then he denies him three times. And other than the betrayal of Judas, it's the most famous betrayal or failure in Christian history. Everybody knows about it. Now, in light of all that, in light of Peter's boasting, in light of the fact that you're the rock and upon this you, the big boulder, I'm going to build my church, Peter publicly denies Christ. Everybody's talking about it, I'm sure, right? The disciples are talking about it. The public's talking about it. A lot of people heard it, and then they're repeating it. All these followers of Jesus, can't you imagine? You guys live around people. Oh, yeah. What a big shot follower of Jesus, the Jesus person. Not only did not, he was cussing in the process. Nothing but a fisherman. That's just the way professional fishermen are. And so he probably wouldn't have been the guy that most churches would have wanted to come to their conference. They'd have been too ashamed of him. What a failure. We want somebody to come and teach us who knows how to do this thing right. Who's got it together because we want to get it together. And yet, he's the guy on Pentecost who preached one of the most important sermons in history. And thousands came to Christ. Why did he? Why him? Because Jesus told him, I'm going to build my church on you. And that happened. That was the birthing of Pentecost, and the building of the church happened. And God used Peter. Jesus used Peter. John chapter 14. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world behold me no more, but you shall behold me, and because I live, you shall live also. Now, weren't they alive when Jesus was telling them this? What was he saying? He goes on the next verse and says, on that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. He's talking about Pentecost. He said, on that day, you're going to understand about being in union with me, and me being in union with you as I've been with the Father. And on that day, you're going to know that you're in me, and I'm in you. Oh, that day, you're going to come alive. Because I live, because I'm going to be raised up, you're going to live also. You're going to finally, fully come alive. And because of that, you're going to become and be the rock I always said you'd be, the boulder on which I'm going to build my church. Whereas most people would have never chosen Peter to preach that important sermon at the first conference in the Christian history. First Bible conference. And yet it was Peter. God gave him the keys, he said. He gave you the keys too, but he wanted Peter to know. I've given you the keys. What you bind has been bound. What you loose has been loosed. Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you. And the enemy might be trying to tell you that you can never be who you have wanted to be, who you thought you were to be, who Jesus said you were to be, because you've blown it. You can never be to those people. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like, well, I've blown it so bad in front of these people, I'll never be able to. That's the enemy. Do you understand me? That's the enemy. Jesus said on that day, Jesus said, because I live, you're going to come alive. You're going to come alive in me. He believes in you because he believes that when you joined his life to yours, you became who God has always meant you to be. So don't you think when Peter was preaching that day, there were people out there in those thousands, 3,000 came to Christ that day, going, that's the guy that denied Christ 3,000. What has he got to say to us? I mean, who does he think he is? Really? Don't you think that? Do you have family that you think that those things about you, or friends? Who do you think you are? You could never be. Let me just say, Jesus believes in you because he believes in who you are in him. And it's never too late. It wasn't too late for Peter. You're just who he's looking for. He'll make you. He was being a fisher of men that day. That's not just about salvation or lost people. What about people in your family that you think you've blown it too much in front of and they're never gonna listen to you again? You've lost your testimony, yada, yada, yada. All this stuff the enemy says. And Jesus says, no. Because I live, you live also. And as we begin to manifest that life, you know, it doesn't take but a moment, just a moment, just not very long, maybe a day, a few days, a week, for those people to go, there's something different. What is this deal? This is a person who's actually making known to us the living, risen Christ. It can happen in a moment. You hear me? He believes in you. Because he believes in who you are in him. Okay. I just think that's awesome. Father, thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together. So I know that none of you have ever blown it and are afraid that your testimony is gone forever and God can never use you. Or some of you have had Christians tell you that, which is incredible, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus said, because he lives, you'll live also?